shuffle.
Kill, kill, kill.
Kill, kill, kill.
Kill shuffle.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Kill Shuffle.
Yes, let's do it.
I'm Donald.
I'm Dylan.
We're doing it.
Yeah, I'm not an alternate alias this time, I'm just Dylan.
Yeah. Thank God.
Oh yeah.
I missed you, man.
I did too.
it's good to have you back. Great. So we've got a real decent bread and butter show for you this week. Yeah. We've got four new albums plus one older release. Yes. So we're going to cover Pliny, the Australian guitar god Pliny.
Or Pliny,
or however you, I don't know how I'm supposed to say it. Irish band called Punchface Champions. A band from Missouri called Shy Boys, and a band from Houston called Rome Hero Foxes. And then we're also going to take a look back at Nightwish's most recent album.
Yes.
Not that recent though, not 2015. It's called Endless Forms Most Beautiful.
Yes.
So that's a bit of Finland to mix up the...
I already have a great podcast title for this one.
Oh, good. Okay, we'll see. You can send that through.
Yeah.
I usually come up with a pun at the last possible second and title it that. So, all right, great. As a band, myself and Dylan have a gig this evening. I think it should go out today, so it will still be this evening when this podcast drops.
Yeah.
So we're going to blast through these albums as quick as we can and get to that gig.
It's going
to
be tight.
It's going to be tight.
Tight like a tiger.
All right, sweet. So, Pliny. I'm going to say Pliny because that's just more natural for me to say, but you say it however you want. The man's name is Pliny Roessler Holgate, and he's from Sydney. He's a sort of solo instrumental artist who has gained quite a bit of traction online over the last couple of years. I didn't realize actually how recent his success was. I thought he'd been around for quite a while, but it turns out...
A bit slow build up in YouTube years.
That's
so, like,
right,
EPs,
yeah.
EPs through that and... Yeah.
So he's kind of one of these DIY guys. Like, he records everything in his bedroom and... kind of similar probably to Sarah Longfield that we discussed last year.
Or Rob Scallon.
Yeah, right.
Same vein.
Or even that guy, E-Rock, the guy that used to do the metal covers of things. But Pliny he definitely leans more towards the kind of genty, progressive, instrumental, rock, you know, evolution of metal,
that kind of stuff. He's the most tight in my universe.
Yeah, definitely, you know? Yes. It's kind of real spacey, synthy, heavy instrumental rock.
Yeah.
Who would be the main touch points for you then in terms of like influences or contemporaries?
I'd say a lot of the real like mid-90s guitar virtuosos like Steve Vai.
Steve Vai, Joe Satriani also.
When they got really experimental. And then Animals as Leaders is obviously there.
Definitely.
Like
What were they? Was it the G3 they were called when Petrucci, Vai, and Satriani got together?
And this year it's G4.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Who's joined the team?
Joe Elliott from Def Leppard.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm right. I want to catch that.
Good stuff. And another band that we covered last year, Disperse. That was added to my albums of the year. I think there's a lot of Disperse in this too, or a lot of Pliny and Disperse, vice versa.
Yeah. But that was old Pliny. This is the new EP. And this EP is a bit more jazz-centric, I would say.
It's called Sunhead, just for info.
Yeah.
Definitely, there's... if you want to start with that tack...
Wolfpack.
There's a song called a flaneur, which is a French word, meaning kind of like a loafer or somebody that kind of lopes along and dawdles and stuff. And that song has a lot of elements we haven't heard from Pliny previously.
Yeah.
There's a lot of... like lounge jazz style piano. There's some kick and sax work by a guy called John Waugh, a friend of his. Like a lot of guest musicians on this EP overall.
Yeah. But really powerful, but downplayed. You know, it's very. We'll talk about it in some of the later albums.
Actually, Anomaly is the name of the pianist on that album, and just. There's a trade-off between the sax and the piano that just is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, this album needs a lot of... this EP, it almost seems like an album. It's so varied.
Yes.
It requires a lot of patience.
I think so, yeah.
From old Pliny.
Mm-hmm.
Because jazz requires a lot of patience to get with.
Or at least this kind. I kind of feel like it's pretty smooth.
It's
pretty smooth jazz.
It's not abrasive.
It's not... It reminds me of Tram, which was the... Animals as Leaders, like jazz side project.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's as difficult or as weird or as bitty as Tram, much as I love Tram. It's like this feels more like Yeah, like it's a long, it's like a 6 minute kind of jazz odyssey, yeah. But
it's only a couple, it's only a couple shades of jazz.
Yeah,
it's not too much. It's still him.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Doing his natural thing,
mixed with some weird, like groany psychedelic synths in the middle, which just are also awesome.
Yeah,
it's just a marriage of so many different things that really, really work.
Weird 60s prog rock and 70s prog rock.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely, I got that down here as well. I think on either side of Flanner, you've got a, you know, interesting Pliny, but definitely more in the mold of his previous work, which is obviously what you would expect and totally fine.
Yeah, I really liked where the album went on onwards, where he went on from that. The three EPs beforehand were pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
They're getting there. They're trying to establish something.
What's that song? It's called like something about cities. It's like living, it's something about cities anyway. Lost in Cities. And his album's called. He's only got one album. So
yeah. It's terrific.
Yeah, yeah.
Very positive sounding album.
Yeah,
this is not quite like that. It's, I thought I would experience that again, but
Actually kind of pleasantly surprised by that, to be honest with you, that there's more shades of melancholy and kind of intertonal weirdness on this, especially like on the last track, Sunhead, has a very strange and kind of what would you call it, like wistful sound to it almost, whereas I always thought of Pliny as being more in the really, really upbeat sort of jaunty tech metal stuff.
Joe Satriani style positive.
Yeah, which is fine too. And then at the same token on Kind, you have those almost sort of marimba Caribbean synths that come in to like counterpoint against the guitar.
You know it. I love that.
Really cool. Love it.
Yeah, I dig this album quite a bit.
I really liked it too.
I don't think I have any gripes. I just like the fact that he's kind of he's hiring the ceiling early on in his career.
Yeah, yeah.
Just do it, because not many musicians do that. They kind of go on for about six albums, especially the virtuosos.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Satriani kind of did the same stuff.
Yeah, right.
For a while, pretty much the '90s.
Got into a groove.
Yeah, yeah.
And turned into an alien.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But no, I think this is. It really excites me where he goes on that third track. I absolutely adore that. I think it's definitely my favorite thing he's done. Yeah. I'm really excited to go see him now, actually, because he's playing Arctangent week after next. I'm excited to check him out, as long as he doesn't clash with like somebody super, super, super high on my list. You know, I think the rest of it is, it's really, really good, Pliny stuff. It's not typically the first thing I reach for, but for what it is, I can really appreciate how high quality it is, definitely.
Mm-hmm. So much time and effort, as I've heard, went into this.
Yeah, yeah.
And shows. Like, four... And so...
I think he kind of wrote that he took the philosophy of putting an album's worth of care and attention into the four songs.
Like we did with our EP.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, or both of them, yeah.
Yeah.
And special shout out to Chris on drums and Simon on bass. I think there's some really inventive... bass and guitar work, bass and drum work that goes beyond just what was kind of required. Mm-hmm. Some really interesting grooves and counterpoints and stuff that sort of throws you for a loop.
Yeah, challenges every instrument.
Yes.
Instead of just the guitar. It's great.
Favorite track?
I like Certain Charcoal because it's familiar, but the Flanner is my favorite.
Yeah, Flanner definitely for me would be my favorite. I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10.
Eight. Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah, great stuff. Really good stuff from Pliny. Australian instrumental rock with some big chunky guitars and lots of really fun stuff in between. Check it out. Okay, great. So next, just for change, because we'll shy away from instrumental rock for a minute and do Shy Boys. Shy Boys are a band from Kansas City, Missouri, who by their own sort of admission like grew up in dank basements, and they're kind of self-styled slackers and whatever, but the two brothers that front the band, I think Roush or something along those lines. Yeah, Colin and Kyle Roush are kind of the two like front men, and they would have grown up singing together in choir, like church choirs and stuff like that. So what you're talking about is like guys with weird musical tastes, but that have a real strong, solid foundation of like vocal harmony. And the album just is called Bell House, and the band is called Shy Boys. But yeah, so I mean, this has been described as basically the Beach Boys on Ritalin or like ketamine. I don't even know, but the Beach Boys on something.
Yeah, more modern Beach Boys.
Yeah.
At face value.
But
shy boys, so, to speak.
So shy. It starts with Miracle Girl. The first song starts off with a just pure a cappella barbershop arrangement.
I was surprised.
Yeah, and then it goes to so many different places that you don't expect over the course of the album, while still maintaining that 60s aesthetic.
Yeah, I don't like this album as much as you do.
Okay,
I'll get that out of the way first.
It would be difficult to like it more than I do.
But you know where it really got me? I was like, this is a fucking classic. The last song.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, whoa, this is really good. And it's like, how... I don't know. The journey to get to that song was not an anticlimactic one.
Mm-hmm.
But it was certainly not for me, as much as just the last song alone was.
Yeah, Champion, the last song, is really good. I think it's about the same... that same vibe that a lot of the Roswell Kid songs had, in terms of just transporting you back to somebody else's childhood. Mm. It's really cool. I like that one. That one almost had like shades of Weezer meets Hairspray or something.
Yeah. What else got you really...
Well, I mean, beyond like just the really solid grasp on, I would say, like classic 60s and 70s pop that these guys have, stuff like The Hollies, Fleetwood Mac, you know, even Simon and Garfunkel, that kind of stuff. You've also got really strange little bits of like Radiohead, or there's a song called Bell House, which is probably the most typically just straight up indie song. They could be, you know, Antlers or Wild Beasts or London Grammar, and then there's this Moog synth that comes in towards the end. It's like almost like a hypnotic. It sounds like almost like a French horn, but it's definitely a synthesizer. And what they do sometimes is they'll have a song that's really 1960s and upbeat and happy and we're surfing down the beach, and then it'll suddenly get dark and ominous out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And the songs are so short that you barely register, and then it's done.
Mm.
The whole album's 22 minutes long.
That may have been a fault for me, because I think the middle third, I felt like I wanted to skip through.
Oh, tracks. Really?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I suppose for me, my attention never wavered for a second, just purely because I guess it is such a short experience.
The vocals aren't totally my jam.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking, okay, I want to listen to fucking Rainbow Connection by, Kermit singing Rainbow Connection.
Damn right.
I want to see Kermit singing these songs because they're so musical in that sense.
I think I totally. It's a strange vocal approach because Colin does the lead vocal, but then there's. Yeah. Pretty much the whole time there's this harmony that's almost like three-part harmony going in, whether it's like oohs and ahs or it's like echoing back lines and stuff like that in the background. I personally love that. I think he's got a voice that sits somewhere perfectly between like that really crystal clear, clean type of singing almost. You need for choir.
I think he's a bit too center ground for what they are trying to do.
Okay, fair.
Maybe I might have to go back to listen to it.
Yeah,
because I do like this kind of approach. I love the Beach Boys to a certain degree, and later stuff we'll cover. But I thought the voice is a bit too.
It's quite sugary at times.
Yeah, a bit too sugar sweet.
Okay.
A bit. I don't know. It might be the tone.
Yeah, it could be.
Might be the tone.
Could be.
Yeah,
I mean, I know. It's like it, obviously, it's your mind may vary. I just think
a bit timid, a bit shy. Boy,
I think for albums like this, we'll actually might be talking about this later again. This might come up, but I think for albums of this nature, it really helps me. I like them a lot more when I feel like the vocal holds something back. I think here there are those moments like on Tragic Loss where you know everyone is going full on, and it's all happening, but at the same time for Moses' album he really peels it back and it's quite fragile. I like that. It's not perfect.
There's a lot of strength in those small little notes.
like No Fun, there's a lot of like really kind of peeled back ballady type songs, like No Fun is one, and
a lot of heart.
I think it has a lot of heart. And it's quite honest as well. Like, there's a song called Basement where the hook is, got a wife and a dog and I'm living in my mom's basement.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of wear their failures on their sleeves, which I kind of appreciate. And then Disconnect is kind of a lot different to the rest of the album.
It brings in
jazzy, loungy stuff like we would have heard on Tropics a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, a bit more indie rock centric.
That but also almost that like nighttime,
yeah,
nighttime in New York neon sign kind of vibes, which I also love.
Yeah.
So I for me anyway, this album goes in so many different places in 22 minutes that I don't think there's a dull second on it. But,
yeah, I think there's plenty, but
that's totally fine. Yeah. Any final thoughts on Shy Boys?
No.
you got it, my friend. All right,
yeah, I'm alright.
I think my favorite song is probably Tragic Loss. It's just a straight up like bittersweet vocal harmony pop track that
I can understand that.
So many moments that just stick with you. I think it's great.
Yeah.
Favorite track?
Champions. Champions. It's the one part where I went wide eyed.
Yeah.
And I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Fantastic.
Like it's on my main playlist.
It's the
one song that's like actually on.
Yeah, yeah. Tragic Loss got drafted into a lot of my playlists. 10. I love this. Love this.
I don't think it's that.
This speaks to me in a way that a lot of albums do not. I love this.
Yeah.
I was thinking about 9 or 10, but it's 10 for me. I can't fold this. I absolutely adore this album.
Yeah, it's a 6. It's all right.
Sweet. Cool. Yeah. All right, we've done 10-6 before. It's happened many times.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's so obviously a little bit divisive, but the album's called Bell House by Shy Boys, and if you like the sound of Beach Boys meets Radiohead, as weird as that is, give it a listen. Okay, cool. Up next, why don't we talk about Punchface Champions?
Yeah, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it. Okay, so Punchface Champions are a band that Dylan and I discovered at a gig a couple months ago.
Yeah, surprising gig. Very overwhelming gig.
Yeah.
I didn't expect the whole gig to be that good.
It was
with just the opening. Yeah.
These guys were the first, they were the first of two support acts.
Almost stole the show. Debatably did.
they were really, really, really strong. And it was such a casual show, you know, they were just chatting away to the audience for most of it, and then they'd just break into a song. But what it is it's definitely, I would say, like lo-fi garage instrumental alternative rock.
Yeah, it's like the opening quiet stuff from the first And So I Watch From Afar album.
Yep.
In a way.
Definitely.
Nothing like the new stuff, but like the old stuff.
Mm.
It was very, very much, his heart was in that place.
Yeah, album's called, I keep on forgetting to name the album.
If you can't tell by the band name.
Yeah, Punchface Champions, yeah. Sorry, but the album is called You Can't Go Around Just Killing People,
yeah.
Or You Just Can't Go Around Killing People, one or the other.
Yeah, I think there's a recurring element, there's a recurring element in this show for me to have a bone to pick with bands that name their songs after Asilifa, or name their names after Asilifa's songs.
Okay.
There have been two.
Three
bands we've covered. So
well, did Punchface Champions, are they taken from Asilifa?
I think it's very similar to the naming conventions of a band like that, you know?
Yeah, but I do feel like instrumental rock, they like just as a genre, kind of does tend to have
Clenched
wacky
fists,
names.
Grit Teeth Go.
Yeah.
The stuff on the middle EP album.
Yeah.
Kind of has that name convention.
I think these guys go funnier. Asilifa goes weird. I think these guys go funny. Like this song called like Piece of Cake! ! Or like, I love Your Foster Parents Are Dead as a title. Yeah,
this is more alpha male. Tea Party.
This is definitely naming conventions more like Alpha Male Tea Party. The music itself, I think has loads and loads of variety to it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, a really consistent production job.
Mm-hmm. And quite a consistent sound.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. No matter what they're doing, like the cleans are spacey and airy and sort of ethereal and beautiful, and then the heavy guitars don't ever go into like Pliny territory, that kind of
they're never
metal. It's always like crunched up, gainy, fuzzy, scratchy, kind of almost like, do you know that band Foam we covered from Melbourne?
Yeah,
like those guys,
high end,
yes,
jingly, weird,
but like perfect fit for purpose.
Uh-huh.
And it's like guitar in the right ear, bass in the center, guitar in the left ear, drums, stereo, reworks.
It's absolutely played safe in the best of ways, because it's an establishing of the sound, as I say. Because
it's the debut album.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they've been around for a while, and I get the sense from them that they're more of like a personal, like it's not that they're like going to be going on European tours. Do you know what I mean? I don't think they're signed. I think they're independent, and they just kind of do this for the love of it.
They're those underdog hero bands we love.
and are.
Yeah.
But In terms of like the variety of what you hear here, I mean, I hear like early Biffy on the first track.
Sure.
But then you get to the second track, I'm hearing like Chon, Three Trap Tigers. Fourth track, you get like you're into that sort of Monuments to Masses, Vasudeva territory. And then it...
XX is kind of like...
Yep.
Solitude from the first Suif album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it or even...
Solidarity. Yeah.
Oh, Solidarity, yeah, yeah.
It goes a long way.
I even think that song, 20 or XX, gets... Because they've numbered all their songs they've ever recorded. So the XX is the 20th song, I guess. But yeah, it gets really expansive and experimental towards the end. Those last two tracks, 20 and 21, are kind of the longest ones.
Yeah, it's interesting because, right, same song in essence, right? Well, I have some connecting riffs and licks.
Yeah, they're definitely cool. Cut from the same cloth, those two.
Yeah, it's really cool, I think.
And that they're the only tracks that go into the kind of, not necessarily like, they never get quite as... heavy as these bands, but where they go into that sort of Russian circles, like Mogwai, God is an Astronaut kind of territory, where
it's kind of soundtracky. It takes a while to get to the points,
but I like that because it can kind of go from, I guess one song can go from a almost like swaggering funk rock into expansive, very like emotionally infused post-rock kind of stuff.
I think there is rarely a moment. There are a few moments where I was like, okay, get to the point. But they're very far and few between, and I like that. Yeah. Because there's so much more to give.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think there's always a surprise like around the corner, like halfway through the album, so all of a sudden you're getting like a new metal sensibility to some of the grooves and the riffs and things.
Yeah, it's interesting being an observer to a band that's grooving so heavily in their own groove.
Yeah.
Because they know what their own groove is.
Yes.
As like a viewer, I'm like, I don't quite get it.
Okay, interesting.
At points.
Like you don't understand the philosophy of the songs? Or
I need to know the beats. I really need to know the beats and where they hit. And
okay.
I don't want to be kept waiting for something I might want in a song.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But they know.
I think for a band on their debut album, I think they have a really, really like developed sense of who they are and what they play.
And that's great. That's great. It's just challenging, which is fun.
Yeah. And I also like what they do.
Requires a bit of patience.
They're not the Dillinger escape plan, but they do mess around with time signatures and stuff. But they always manage to tie it into a hummable riff or something. So there's a part in I think it's Piece of Cake where there's a riff that's like or something. But the way the drums and the guitar link in together, it doesn't feel like a weird time signature or a strange place to put a bar or anything. It's just, it works because they make it work. They make it catchy and whatever. So I really, really enjoyed this. I gotta say, I'm gonna be going back to it.
A lot of personality in this.
Absolutely.
In the members, they're funny live.
They're funny guys.
I remember anything about it.
They obviously all absolutely adore the type of music they play. Yeah. You know?
I think the live conversations with the audience are like, you're with your best friend and you're like, just sharing gifts through Facebook. This is exactly what you experience in that kind of gig.
And they even, like, the press release of this album was, rather than giving up and becoming a UB40s covers band, Punch Face Champions have decided to continue appealing to their close friends and very few other people. So, you know, I think this
is great. It really, truth bomb.
A truth bomb.
For most.
And I do, and one thing I love about this album as well is the artwork. I think the artwork is excellent. It's like a kid... It's kids standing in front of a big gigantic lorry, and it
reminds
like,
me of Terminator 2.
It reminds me of like Terminator 2 meets Akira, or meets Ghost in the Shell, but done in the style of like a French comic book from the 90s or something. Mm-hmm. It's very, very cool piece of art.
That's accurate enough.
Yes, yeah. I love it. I'm super positive on this. I think it's, you know, it's just for people like me who really like, and probably like yourself, who really like post-rock and instrumental music that has a little bit of a wink and a nod and a glint in its eye.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's good.
There's so many, as I say with my gripe, there's so many instrumental bands that hold it too close, hold like the greats, instrumental greats too close to their sleeves.
Yeah,
these guys don't. These guys don't.
No, they don't. They pull liberally from different places, but they always like leave a bit of a gap. Mm-hmm. There's only a couple of points in this album where I'm like, oh, that's very Ansoach from far. A couple of moments, but they do have enough character to
not really get on my nerves, which is
definitely
great.
Yeah, it's great. And a super and as well just a great lo-fi production job. Kind of reminds me of what Cast of Cheers did on Chariot. It's exactly what it needs to be, and it doesn't distract from the songs because the songs are strong enough to stand by themselves.
Yeah,
great. My favorite song is actually the opening track, Your Foster Parents Are Dead. What about you?
Yeah, 20,
yeah, second last track. Cool. I'm gonna give it an 8.
8, yeah,
awesome.
Well, it's great. Just an 8.
Han the Champions.
Yeah,
great. Okay, cool. All right, so that brings us to the
my pick of the week, right?
Your pick of the week, right? Our last new release of the week. This is a band from Houston called Rome Hero Foxes. Dylan, take it away.
Okay. Well, this was a surprise for me to bring in.
Yeah,
because you brought your pick of the week, and I brought my pick of the week, and I was like, "There are some strings attaching to these genres."
Yeah,
you get that. A bit of the 60s, 70s doo-wop rock.
Oh, do you feel like there's a little bit of a through line here in our albums this week? Absolutely, yeah. This is the week of difficult instrumental rock and 60s inspired pop.
Yeah.
Like, definitely. And then we'll talk about Nightwish when we talk about Nightwish. Yeah. But yeah, no, it is weird. I feel like there's definitely reflections and relations between the albums that we've picked this week.
Yeah, well, this band produced... by I think it was it the drummer of Strawberry Girls?
Kurt Travis, is he? Yeah, Kurt. I think he's in Strawberry Girls. I think it's a guy that collaborates with Strawberry Girls all the time as a vocalist. But I don't know if he's actually. I don't think it's like Zach or anything from Strawberry
Maybe
Girls.
We'll have to check.
We'll have to double check that. Now we have not done our research here. I know he was discovered by Kurt Travis, who used to sing in Dance Gavin Dance. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
And those bands are all kind of amalgamed together over the years.
This is a totally new monster.
It is. In a way. It is. But I would say it's definitely in the Dance Gavin Dance Strawberry Girls cinematic universe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
This is a feast for the ears in terms of delightful music.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's just so upbeat. And sweet and heartfelt.
Like, what would you say are the general sort of genre descriptions of this one?
Oh, God. I mean, some of the pop punk I don't like, this band does really well.
Yeah.
Like, it takes from that element.
Definitely does,
Brings a bit of Beach Boys in there in terms of the singing.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a lot of late 60s music is in this.
Yeah.
But then there's like post-punk.
Right, that's what I was going to say. Like, they do mix that in post-hardcore and stuff like that. Actually, into one track, and just before I continue any further, just in keeping with the theme of not mentioning the names of the albums at the start, like I always do, this is called 18 Summers. Chest Piece is probably the one that encapsulates all of what you just said, insofar as it starts off almost like Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons.
Yeah, for sure.
Then it breaks into this pop-punk middle eight, and then before you think it's going to end, and then it goes into this weird... experimental post-hardcore full-on outro, and then those three sections in that particular song, I'm not as big of a fan of the quite straight up schmaltzy 60s pop.
I'm quite surprised by that because you love what we just covered so much.
I think
this is that brought to our rock comfort zone, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's what you kind of touching on there is that this feels like a band from one tradition maybe drawing on the 60s, whereas like Shy Boys, for example, were a band from a very different tradition drawing on the same influences. So here, you know, I do get the sense that this is production wise and songwriting wise, these guys feel like a Strawberry Girls style sort of alternative quirky, proggy rock band who are using the tropes of 60s and jangle pop and stuff like that to do something new and different.
And it is very much new and different, I think. It, just enough to really catch my attention, and I'm sure this is a surprise to you for me bringing this in.
Definitely a surprise. Definitely a surprise. How did you discover these guys anyway?
From Strawberry Girls. They promoted
it. Oh,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, which is great. Job, guys.
Yeah, there's some moments that are very Strawberry Girls, actually. Yeah.
Yes, when
the second track, I think.
When the guitar gets complex.
Yeah. And the drums get groovy and dancey. Yeah. I really
like the way it attaches like that. You can tell they're all buds.
You can, definitely.
That's great.
My two kind of gripes with this, I wish the production was a little bit more laid back and like airy and spacey, and it's very precise.
I think it gets there though.
It works on certain tracks. Towards the end it works. It definitely works better. Like Don't Close the Door and Don't Call My Name, which isn't really like anything else on the album. Don't Call My Name is more like a straight up alternative rock track, and it's great. On certain, I think when they're going for the really jangly stuff, I don't think the production does much favors because it's a little bit too clean and clear. And then the other thing as well is I'm not in love. I think most part it's fine. I'm not super in love with the guy's voice, the main guy, but
it takes a few different changes. That's kind of cool, the fact that he can change it up a little bit.
I just think his voice is very controlled, and he sometimes goes into like real almost like vocal theatrics, which I think for this style of music aren't exactly what I want.
Yeah, but they're very small parts I think you're talking about, because I know the songs you're talking about. What's the one before San Junipero?
Don't Call My Name, is it?
Maybe.
I really like that track. My favorite track,
maybe.
Probably
18 Summers possibly has.
No, actually, you've picked the two tracks actually that I wanted to bring up as being exceptions to that rule, because I think on 18 Summers, it's not the main guy that sings; it's another guy he's got a much like sneerier, kind of raspier voice. I love it.
That's where the Good Charlotte thing came in.
Yeah, I love almost. That track.
I really like San Junipero because it's possibly a reference to.
It's definitely a reference to Black Mirror.
Because I fucking love, because the town reminds me of that, and vice versa. Going if that is the case.
Yeah. No, it is. It is.
But
it is.
Like the album cover definitely got me an interest.
Okay,
first,
yeah.
And the music exceptionally reflects that feeling.
Yeah.
Of like kind of 60s Americana mixed with modern rock.
Mixed with mathy rock, mixed with kind of almost like a polka dot stingray style, like breezy, what would you say, like instrumental aesthetic. It's really cool. It's really cool. And I think there's some really like songs that just jump out, and some great memorable moments, like on Be Your Side, there's that like really some memorable really guitar licks.
And solos are great. Some of the hypnotic tendencies the guitarist does is really cool, and you really get into it.
Yeah.
I think if you're in a really good mood, this is exactly for you.
Yeah, definitely. Uh-huh. Definitely. I think it's a cool album. For me, the start to finish kind of overall package doesn't quite click the way I would like it to. But I think these guys are definitely ones to watch. I hear loads and loads of big potential here. And this is their second album, right? Second album. So I want to go back and hear how they've progressed from the first one. And I'm interested to hear where they go now.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It's definitely, definitely interesting. And Anna, we love those other bands that are like in this sphere of artists. So.
Yeah, just great mix of everything I like, plus stuff I don't usually like.
Yeah.
And making me like it somehow.
Cool.
It's great.
Great. So, what was your favorite track overall?
Fuck, I don't know. It changes. There's so much in this. I think Chess Piece and San Junipero are close. So many end songs are really good as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give this an 8.
Sweet, cool.
I think at first listen I gave it I was almost going to give it a 10.
Yeah.
But then I started picking up on small things that I maybe was not in the mood for listening.
Okay, yeah. That's fine.
Like if you're having a really shit day and you listen to this, I don't know how it works. You might be like, fuck off, I want to be in my shit mood.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, no, I know what you're saying.
Even though the lyrics are not the happiest of lyrics, if you listen, there's...
Not the whole way through, definitely not, no. I know what you mean. It does... It doesn't...
Some breakup lyrics in there.
It uses sonics more than like structures and chords to break away from the influences. And sometimes I kind of almost wish like there was a little bit more of an experimental approach to how those songs are written. But I think there are, and that those are the moments that I like the best.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm going to give my favorite song to Don't Call My Name. I think it's really, really good.
Yeah.
Great song. Great for you. I'll give it a 7 out of 10.
Yeah, that's nice.
Nice. Very good stuff. So that's Rome, Hero, Foxes, and the album is called 18 Summers. As summary. Yeah. Play it at your next barbecue.
It's exactly that.
See how you get on. Yeah. Okay, cool. So that's all the new releases for the week, which brings us to the year 2015.
Fargo.
The country
is Finland.
Yes. Obama was, I guess, president far away, but still.
Obama was into his final year of his presidency.
Yes.
And Nightwish released an album called Endless Forms Most Beautiful.
They went off into a wooded winterland in Finland to record this.
They're Walden, you could say.
Yes, with their new singer, who had been touring with them for 2 years, Floor Jansen.
Yeah.
From
Revamp, I think, was her main project.
Which is very metal-y. She had a very metal vocal with that.
Yeah, yeah. Really?
Yeah, this is you'd be surprised.
No, I would have been surprised had I not heard Your Hope is Empty, or whatever that song is called.
Yours is an Empty Hope.
Yours is an Empty Hope off this off this album, which kind of made me go, oh, okay, that's not something I've heard from a Nightwish before.
Yeah, yeah.
But so Nightwish, I mean, to give like a very brief primer, they're a band that had been around since 1996. And they play, Dylan, what would you describe it as?
Oh God! Because
they've been remarkably consistent in what kind of music they play.
Sort of. They've changed it up a fair bit.
Okay.
They used to be very Celtic, frosty, with tinges of techno starting on.
Okay.
But they kind of escaped that, and I think now they're more Celtic metal, but as if. From the gaze of like the best Disney songs you've ever heard,
right?
But metal.
I think they describe themselves as melodic symphonic metal.
Yeah,
and I describe them as Rammstein meets Eurovision meets Riverdance meets. There's one more.
God, I wish Eurovision was like
Hans Zimmer. He's the last guy.
Funny you should say that.
Yeah, yeah.
The orchestra in this band in this album.
Yeah,
from London. They did a lot of stuff with Hans Zimmer and a few other well-known conductors.
Yeah, and composers. I mean, I know I'm obviously being tongue-in-cheek there, but I do think that's actually a pretty accurate, like... The
guitars are thunderous and huge.
And they usually have that, like, sort of European, like... like sort of mid-tempo, four to the floor, like straight ahead... chug kind of sound. And then obviously they're surrounded by an orchestra, and to their credit, Nightwish, as it's definitely in the last like 10-15 years, have always used real instruments. They don't, you know, it's not a synthetic.
Yeah, I think early on they may have synthesized stuff,
which is budgetary,
but now they certainly,
yeah,
like there's a point we'll kind of go through the album in bits,
yeah,
but Thomas, the guy who plays synths, he's a songwriter,
yeah, right.
He plays synth and piano during it,
okay.
Mostly.
Yep.
He composes everything.
Right, yeah, everything. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The vocal pointers, the lyrics, everything.
Yes. He's the brains behind the operator. I think that's the reason, that's why people credit Nightwish for being so kind of, like, despite the fact that they've had a lot of lineup shakeups, there's been, since the last Nightwish album that I was into, there's been, like, two other singers.
Yeah.
So I think Tarja was the singer back then, and then
Tarja was more opera, and then Annette was... more pop rock vocals.
And now we've got Floor,
who is the whole package. She's the most
everything.
Knockout vocalist they've ever had.
Yeah,
and people were kind of scared, but then because Annette was pregnant and she had to break off from the it was a very dramatic kind of end to that.
Yeah, yeah. And she got three albums with them? Two albums?
Two albums. Yeah, I think it was two albums. But Floor had. There's a documentary about this where she had 42 hours to learn the whole set.
No way.
Vocals and all.
Jesus.
Yeah. And wow. She pulled it off so fucking well.
That's crazy.
And of course you're going to get her in the band permanently if she does that.
Yeah. So I suppose, everything kind of swirls around. I mean, like, Nightwish are a band for whom the philosophy more is more could not be more applicable. Yeah. So the fact that it's a credit to the production, I guess, on this album that, you know, you can't always pick out Flora in the center of the chaos. Like, she does anchor the songs with her vocal melodies, and then obviously layer on top of that distorted guitars, layer on top of that a massive, probably like 60-piece orchestra, layer on top of that. They've got a guy now that's dedicated to doing like bouzouki, Ilan pipes, low whistle, tin whistle. Like, he does all the kind of Celtic shit.
He's the British guy in the band.
Tom, I think his name's from Cumbria.
He is, just imagine Bill Bailey, and that's what you get.
Right, exactly.
This band has a lot of character. They're very, very fun.
Yeah. People. I think it's hard not to. And then obviously, like, the other element that we haven't spoken of, you mentioned Disney, I say Eurovision, but mm-hmm. basically just unabashed, totally unselfconscious, like, pop is what anchors a lot of the choruses on this yeah, album, I would say.
I mean, that's what Finnish old school, like,
yeah.
dance, like, old dance music is like.
That definitely, yeah. And, like, and, you know, and
Finnish country music.
And like power metal as well, uh-huh. you know. That's oh, those certainly. Are like the touch points they
if,
use.
If anything's being consistent is the lead guitarist's tendencies to go so power metal.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
He's great in this as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're all cool. The drummer is new as well. I think he was learning the old parts.
I think the reason the drummer is came on board for this one was because the old the sort of long time drummer had been suffering from seriously bad insomnia.
Yeah, chronic.
Yeah,
so that was a bit heartbreaking, but he's apparently he's ready to get back on.
Yeah,
we'll see how that goes. But yeah, this is what did you think? Because you're kind of new to Nightwish.
I'm not new to Nightwish. I've been aware of Nightwish for a long time.
This Nightwish, though,
yes,
as most fans and the musicians playing alike would be like, this is our favorite Nightwish album.
Really?
Yeah,
that's interesting. I listened back to the comment of
what they've been working up to, I guess.
I listened back to Once, which was the one that I suppose, like, I, you know, Once was their mega, mega, mega hit 2004
with
album.
With Nemo.
Yeah, Nemo, Dark Chest of Wonders, Planet Hell. Mm-hmm. I Wish I Had an Angel is so cheesy in retrospect, but I still like it. You know, I suppose Nightwish did form part of my, like, the formation of my interest in rock and metal at the time. Because, you know, it's something that you just get handed. You're like, well, this is something else you need to listen to. It's Nightwish. So I do love those songs. Just generally, the symphonic metal thing has not been, like, Dream Theater is about as far as I go into that zone of things normally. I've listened to a bit of Epica. I really like Within Temptation at times, even though they're much poppier and they're more like alternative rock kind of
stuff. This is my favorite out of the whole bunch.
But this is your favorite Nightwish album? Or is your favorite your Nightwish is your favorite band out of the
favorite,
whole bunch?
One of my favorite bands. They'd easily be in my top five.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's just saying how much of a delight this was to finally experience an album like this, 80 minutes long.
It's long.
So many tracks in each of these songs. Like, I've heard the last track, which is a 24 minute song. Yes. Has probably over 600 tracks. Because
how many of them are animal noises, though?
I'd say quite a few. Like, 100-ish. Because the orchestra was 150.
Okay.
Then, like, vocal tracks and guitar tracks and all, they're pretty stacked.
Yeah.
Then you got a lot of vocals. Yeah, they got the animal noises, the animal and weird noises. Explosions.
You
got
to get Richard Dawkins talking about endless forms, most beautiful and most wondrous,
which I really like as a concept for an album. Yeah, as like science at as a beautiful thing.
Yeah,
not as like a boring thing.
To clarify that. The album title is taken from a quote, a Richard Dawkins quote, and the album itself is kind of a loose concept based on Charles Darwin and Richard Dawkins' work on, you know, evolution, basically. So that's what the lyrics deal with. If they're not dealing with
a pinch of Carl Sagan in there.
With a pinch of the God delusion on certain tracks of but also religion is wrong. And they actually got Richard Dawkins to come in to, or like not to come into their studio, but like to go on their behalf and record certain segments of his book in a dramatic voice, and then they layer them into the first track and the last track, which I think works really, really well. I overall really like the concept. I think it's a great kind of through line to tie that together.
From a like a newbie perspective, it could be a bit corny at points. I personally love that.
It's
a little corn dog.
I think it's
but very heartfelt, which is what can make it.
If being corny is just a criticism you could level at Nightwish as a band, do you know what I mean? I don't think if your enjoyment of this album is being hampered by the fact that the concept is corny, then you're doing Nightwish wrong. Yeah. But
doing them a disservice.
I do think that occasionally the Tomas, is that his name, the main guy, Tomash.
He doesn't sing.
No. But the songwriter I'm talking about. Yeah, I think sometimes he does possibly try a little bit too hard to squeeze the theme into the lyrics. Like there's a, from the title track, there's a few lines that go, "Beyond eons we take a ride, welcoming the shrew that survived, to see the Tiktaalik take her first walk, witness the birth of flight, deeper down in the Panthalassa, a eukaryote finds her way."
Yeah, it's...
Now, that's a little bit clunky.
Yes.
And it is a little... I think the lyrics are a little clunky at times. Other times they're great.
One, English is not his first language. And two, better English lyrics than I could do. Debatably. Story building is a thing he's trying to do.
No, I know. All I'm saying is that like there's certain moments of his album where it almost feels like he's like trying to shoehorn in about a million concepts into one verse so that he has said them.
You're not too wrong.
But then other times, like on Weak Fantasy, there's like a, you know, that "Your Only Truth," like it's simple, it's catchy, it really works.
That's Marco, the bassist, singing along with backing vocals. Not as much as the old albums. But he does it quite a bit in this as well. There's more room for Floor in this. Because Floor can roar as well.
She does.
Oh yeah, my God.
She does a full on like scream on one of the songs, which is quite cool actually.
Each song is essentially a mini film.
From
the songwriting perspective.
Yeah, that's kind of
lyrically. I like that concept. It's so high concept.
Yeah,
it's such a marvel that this album could exist to this degree,
right?
And pull it off,
without
like just fucking up your bank account.
See, the thing is, I guess Europeans still like buy music, because Nightwish obviously have a big budget on this album.
Yes, like Japan and Finland have almost like 80% more of a CD
physical record sales. Because I think they're like the third highest grossing musical entity in Finland, and like that would include, you know, international artists, so that's pretty amazing. And they're obviously the most successful Finnish band of all time. The thing about Nightwish is I can appreciate the quality and the variety of the songs here. For me, they're like a very 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 heavy meal, and I do find they're like, even though part of my brain just goes, oh, this isn't like normally my kind of thing, but I do find the first like kind of 20-30 minutes of listening to Nightwish really thrilling, because it's so like, it's so grand, like there's just so much going on, a million things going on at once, and the choruses are so catchy and everything. And then by the time it gets to like, no matter how good the songs are, just for me, by the time it gets to like the, you know, hour mark, I'm like, oh gosh, I feel like I've got indigestion.
And thankfully they do have a breath of fresh air in, I think it's an instrumental track near the end.
But you see, it's too close to the end. That's the problem. It's too, because it comes right before that 24-minute track that starts with 8 minutes of instrumental.
Yeah, and that's, of course, intentional. That's absolutely...
Yeah.
Here's your breather. Here's a smoke break.
If the breather came halfway through, I'd almost feel... Well, to be honest with you, I don't feel like... You're going to hate me for saying this, and probably Nightwish fans will too, but I don't think that 24-minute track does enough to justify its length.
Yeah.
It's a lot of it is like sort of... in between like droney instrumental stuff and animal noises.
Yeah, it's in parts.
I like the song.
Yeah, it's parts. It's a lot like 2112.
Right,
it's,
by Rush.
It's split into parts on the album.
Yeah, it's split
into parts.
Into like subsections.
You use four parts.
Yeah, yeah.
And once you get under your head, it's much more easy to digest.
Yeah, yeah.
And
you can hear that too, but like it starts off as like instrumental section for kind of the first like 6-7-8 minutes.
That's fine establishing
the like zone of the song, and then it's like the song, and then it kind of goes another song, and then it's like the Richard Dawkins bit, and then it's like a sort of an instrumental outro.
So it blew my socks off.
That's good.
There's so much good riffing in this album.
There are some really good riffs,
and of course the production.
Yep.
My favorite production job on any album ever.
Wow. This,
yeah. And hard to disagree with me. Very hard. Well,
yeah, no, I absolutely. I mean,
considering what it's handling.
Yeah. I mean, it's very much in the mold of like S&M, but like done to an extremely high standard, like in a recording studio. Obviously, like I can't argue with it on a technical perspective. It is a fantastic production job. So that's a perfectly legitimate choice.
The guitar is so weighty, huge. I love the riffing. I love how the orchestra backs everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is a band album more so than the old ones, I think. Because there are given moments for each.
Yeah, Alpenglow is kind of the only song where the orchestra isn't like playing a supporting role.
Yes,
like,
it's violin pipes.
Oh yeah, he's in the band though.
Yes, that's true. If every song had violin pipes, it would just be shite. but he puts it in just enough.
He puts it in. It's weirdly Irish.
He plays a lot of mandolin as well.
And bouzouki and stuff. Yeah. Like My Walden just has the most Celtic. Like Riverdancey Celtic sounding riff in it, and there's a lot more of that than I remembered.
Yeah, fun just dance tunes for live stuff.
Yeah,
like the gigs are insanely fun,
I'm sure.
It's like oh my god.
Oh, I'd go and see them live. I would definitely go and see them live. Like again, it's, you know, it's like it's undeniably.
It's
good.
So much to bite.
It's undeniably good. But it's just like. For a guy that, you know, like generally my general palate is so far from this that I'm like, okay.
But I know you come from the Nordic scene. You like quite a bit of that.
Yeah, but
it's different. It is different.
This is like very much, yeah.
It's Finnish.
Yeah.
Like I love him. I love Nightwish.
There aren't any other bands like this that I really can kind of tolerate as much as I do with Nightwish. Like I don't, Epica, I never really went there.
Yeah, they're a bit too high concept for me.
What's that other band? I think they're also Finnish. That sing Trollhammeren. Trollhammeren.
Oh, fucking...
It's gone.
Is it? Okay, keep talking.
But I know. We're just trying to think of like...
Fintroll? No.
Fintroll. I think that is the band. But there's another one even.
There are.
There are many, many, many of these folk, kind of folk / symphonic. These guys, kind of, usually it's either, you're either a folk metal band or a symphonic metal band. Yeah. These guys are like a symphonic folk metal band.
Yeah.
So at least they do it all.
These are the most mature of the bunch, I think.
Probably.
Like,
yeah.
And they definitely, as soon as Flora hit the ground with them, it's so cool how this album came together.
Yeah.
There's a pretty cool documentary, Nuclear Blast.
Oh, yeah.
Put on YouTube. It's like 15 small parts.
Yeah.
Narrated by like, who you'd assume was Richard Dawkins or some British guy.
Yeah.
It sounds like a nature documentary.
Okay.
But I'm observing them in like some house in the woods.
Have entered the forest.
Yes. But it's basically like that.
Right.
They have Flora coming from, was it Denmark or?
I believe she's Dutch.
Dutch. Yeah, sorry.
But I'm not 100% sure.
The Netherlands.
Yeah.
Her coming there, getting used to everything, not speaking much Finnish.
No, Jesus.
Or I think to quote her, she is as much Finnish as a 3-year-old.
Yeah,
and that's
right.
Putting it at best.
Yeah, and I think Finnish is one of those languages that people go, it's so hard to learn.
It's the hardest.
So few people speak it.
Next to Japanese, it's the hardest language.
Yeah,
to learn.
Right.
That's or Chinese, sorry.
I'd say Icelandic is up there as well. But I think it's a good Nightwish album.
It's really fucking good.
It's a good Nightwish album, but a Nightwish album is always going to be a Nightwish album.
Yeah, I think this is a bit higher than most Nightwish albums. I think this...
Yeah.
I haven't liked Nightwish as much until I got to this point.
Cool.
Like, I liked the Annette songs, but I didn't like her vocals.
Yeah.
I didn't like Tari vocals. Not too much.
See, I think maybe
I thought they needed more rock.
I think that's because I came in on board on once where everyone was complaining that Tari wasn't doing the opera vocal anymore. So like I think
compared to this.
But I feel like this is the natural progression from that album, even though it's like so far, it's like over 10 years later. But that was like Tari doing kind of a rock vocal, and now it's obviously onto Flora who's basically giving this kind of a rock vocal, a pretty rock vocal.
But yeah, what the single was Elan.
Oh, was
By
it?
The way, yeah, that was Elan.
Okay.
Which that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
It's just absolute party ballad in a way.
I would have gone with My Walden, but yeah.
It probably was. They had two to decide from, and they were like, I'll pick the left one.
Edema Rue is kind of a bit of a curveball as well, because that one has lots of goth on it.
That's really cool. That's very himish.
Yeah, him, definitely. There's that tinkly 80s gothy keyboard.
Oh, yeah. I teared up significantly listening to that for the first time.
Really?
Oh yeah, I was like, this is great. This is really good.
Yeah, you can get swept up in it, definitely. For sure.
Just having a great walk somewhere with this album for most of the songs is a great idea.
Yeah.
You know?
I needed to get like another two listens in, so I had it on the car. I had it on in the car with my girlfriend, and she was just like, this is the weirdest thing I've ever heard. She's like, this is
to it.
She just didn't know how to process it. She's like, I just what is this? I was like,
which song were you playing?
Oh, the whole thing. We listened to the entire thing.
Shit, wow.
And well, no, up to like the first like 6 minutes of, because you know, no car journey is that long.
What did you think of the vocals? I'm curious.
She didn't mention it. Okay. But I think it was more just like, she was like, oh, this sounds like a musical. And then she's like, oh, this sounds like Pokemon.
This is a new Disney film.
I was like, oh, this is strange. Mm-hmm. She's like, I think this is like what my vampire cousin listens to. And I was like, it probably is.
I think for most people who are not invested in metal, this album still gets a positive reaction, a positive smile from people.
Yeah,
instead of a snark.
Right. No, it's not like a lot of metal where people just like immediately run away screaming in the opposite direction. I think people are more like puzzled and intrigued by this.
Some of this album is really hardcore.
And he says it sounds like a movie, which it does for a lot of it. A lot of it does sound like movie soundtrack.
That's the point.
A point. Yeah. That's the point. A point it does. Yeah, yeah.
There was a Nightwish film that came out recently.
It
was backed... It was called Imaginarium. It came out after last album.
That record,
It's cool. It's kind of a Christmassy movie written and backed by Thomas. And it was a Kickstarter thing. And
they
put their all into the concept.
Nice.
While making it feel natural, you know.
Good stuff.
It's a lot of symphonic bands are so high concept. I don't have the time for it.
I can appreciate their dexterity in not... like just being a pirate metal band or a Viking metal band, you know, or a troll band. Like at least they do mix it up with the concepts from album to album, which is nice.
Yeah.
I think probably my favorite track of this was. Weak Fantasy is a great song.
Yeah.
I think My Walden. My Walden feels more in keeping with the sort of theme of the album.
I think a lot of high points, like some of the points, just go. Balls to the wall are great. Like, there's like a absolute like double time part in Yours Is an Empty Hope at the end. When it comes back, the drums are just going at it, and the riff is so Metallica.
Yeah, I think. I was like, this is
kick ass.
It is cool. I almost think like it's less Nightwishy than the rest of the album, just because it's like it's focuses on the heaviness.
Well, there's a lot of that. There's Weak Fantasy, Empty Hope, Endless Forms was beautiful.
Endless Forms was beautiful is so like.
Oh.
Arms spread wide on the end at the like bow of the Titanic.
Yeah. I love some of that. I love it. I love when it backs out and you just hear like the organ. Then the guitar booms in.
That's such a
so many moments. I wish I was just sailing in a storm too.
He just has such a like. It's you can't change the way that guy riffs. It's always that like.
It's to serve. The orchestra as well.
That you can kind of arrange.
You need to make a lot of room for an orchestra on a band like this.
No, it's good. It's good. It's a good Irish album for sure. I think I probably do prefer it to Once.
My favorite song changes every time.
Okay,
but I think Shudder Before the Beautiful.
That's a good song.
This is the first song.
Yeah,
one of the most kick-ass songs I've ever heard.
It's very good. Yeah. It's good.
Best Disney song ever.
Yeah, absolutely. Unquestionably. Cool. So I think that was an interesting dive into a subgenre that I have not returned to in a while. But I'm glad I did.
They're back soon with a new thing, I think.
Definitely reminded me of what interested me about them in the first place.
Yeah.
Whereas like it's just not something I'm going to be listening to all the time, but I'm still glad that it's something to know.
It'd be worth actually, they have a live album that came out recently. Mm. They have two of them, and she sings a lot of the old songs.
Cool.
On them, and they're very, very high production as well. Just interesting to see how she tackles that stuff.
Nice. On the Floor. She sings a guest spot on Soilworks live DVD. She does the female... Mm-hmm. Well, there isn't actually a female vocal, but she creates a female vocal for one of their songs, and it really works.
Yeah.
So the album is called Endless Forms Most Beautiful. If you're into Richard Dawkins, like me, I've actually read that book, Greatest Show on Earth. It's really good.
It's fucking awesome.
And he's a really good writer. And symphonic, melodic, folk, metal. Then you'll enjoy this a lot because it's the best the genre has to offer.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for joining us. Unless there's anything else you want to sign off with, Joe, I think we're pretty much wrapped up for this week.
Nah, we just have a lot of stuff coming on.
Yeah.
next few albums.
And we got to go gig. So thanks for joining us. We kept it under an hour, as promised.
Yeah.
And we'll see you next time.
See ya.
Bye.